Scripture this morning is Proverbs 8. You can follow along in your worship guide or in your Bible. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way and at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates, in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call. And my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and write to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule, and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields or the first of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning. Good morning. All right, I'm going to try to get a little more technological here over the course of the summer. So while I'm getting this ready, would you turn to somebody around you, kids, adults, all of you, and tell them the thing you wish you could have most on this side of heaven? Okay, so whatever that is, it could be a new MacBook. Yeah, a Popeye's chicken sandwich. I don't know, but go ahead and do that. All right, turn to the person next to you.
Tabellard, say it again.
To have a lot
of candy, lots of candy, all right? We got bad teeth on this side, but we want candy. What else over here? Anybody, youth? Come on, something. Toyota 4Runner. New Mercedes. All right, how about back here? Anybody? Relational peace. Great one. Anybody else want to get serious with things like that? health,
contentment.
No more fear. Sleep. Oh, thank God. She's somebody over there, or there's a young mom in here saying the same thing, or young dad. Why I started that way is because Proverbs is offering you, as you heard read in that chapter, all of those things. Okay, maybe not all the candy we could want in the world, but every desire of our heart. So you probably won't want candy when you get wisdom. And I know we all hate robocalls, right? How many spam texts are we getting on our phones? Or would you like to sign up for notifications? None of us want to do that, right? Maybe the constant barrage of pink letters saying you owe them money. Wait, none of you guys get those? Oh, maybe that's just me. No, I'm just kidding. We don't get those, but we don't like that kind of stuff. And yet here you see in Proverbs 8, Proverbs crying out, wisdom standing at the street corner. It's like it's on the billboards. It's every notification. It's the spam emails crying out saying, simple ones, come and receive me. Any of you ever driven 95 from the Northeast down to Florida? Do you know what the billboard is that you saw over and over and over and over again? Do we know what it is? JR's or South of the Border is what I'm thinking of. Like, you see them everywhere. You can't not think about South of the Border. Now it's Buc-ee's, right? So now Buc-ee's is everywhere all over the country. But who actually stops there? You see the sign, and we don't actually stop there. My concern is that we can do the same thing as we come through the scriptures. Is we hear wisdom crying out in the billboard, and we're like, yeah, great, more noise. Am I really going to stop? We're going to talk today about whose wisdom. And for those of you who are like grammar freaks, I promise this is not a typo, okay? So just as you see it every single time in my slide, we'll get there. Wisdom calls with the same kind of persistence, especially in verse 1-3. She calls from the street corners, raises her voice, meets you at the storefront, at the edge of your driveway, stands out front of your door, incessantly bellowing for you to listen. And so today, as we think through what our summer series is going to be, I'm trying to invite you to know why you should listen. Maybe the voice of wisdom is just what we need. Kids who are struggling with anxiety at unbelievable amounts. Growth of suicide, growth of gun violence, our political system breaking down. I mean, just thinking about AI, just thinking about what's happened. I was talking to somebody yesterday. 2020 was only 6 years ago that we went into a global pandemic, and you almost can't even remember what was like life was like before 2020. And then AI takes over, and suddenly all of our businesses are changing the way we think, the way I think about preaching, the way we think about education. That's just in the last 2 years. How are we possibly supposed to keep up? Book of Proverbs says that wisdom is what we need. I want to convince you why you need wisdom. Here's how. Whose wisdom are we needing? Why wisdom? Why wisdom is so important? And what is wisdom? As you look in that text, you look at who wisdom speaks to, calls to. It says, to you, O men, I call. My cry is to the children of man. So it's every single person who is, if you were born of mankind, which that's kind of a reference even back to Adam and Eve. If you're coming from that lineage, and he's saying that's everyone, I cry out, O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. So that's Proverbs 8, verse 4. This idea of the simple ones, it's this word kasil, simple. It's got many other variations of it. The most regular is fool, but it can mean stupid, dull, simple, lacking understanding. In like the idiom of kind of the original language, it's like the fat one. And you got to get in the mind of like a six-year-old. And like for some reason, the word fat is like the funniest thing that you can kind of think about as like a little kid. Like a big old fat person is just kind of for some reason like that big roly-poly thing is like the essence of kind of just makes you chuckle. And that's kind of the way Proverbs is saying. For all of us who are the fat ones, just mentally, emotionally, even physically as we come, this is for us. We all are in this condition. It means someone who just doesn't understand how life works. Have you been there? Have you been at that moment as a child calls you, an adult child calls you with some major issue parent or a friend going through a legal crisis, something at work. You're just trying to fix something on your car, and you got no idea what to do. And you go to YouTube, and that doesn't make any sense. You read the instructions. That doesn't make any sense. You're left with, this is not working. All kinds of stories. Think of all the Aesop's fables that talk about the foolish and the wise. So the tortoise and the hare. This is an African fable. This one is about all the birds are actively working from spring all through summer, gathering their harvest, getting kind of their nests ready. And meanwhile, the monkeys are just having a blast. And then winter comes, and the birds are all nice, warm, cozy, eating their food, and the monkeys are there kind of here unprepared. And so Proverbs says that that is where we all stand. You may not feel it, you may not believe that about yourself, but that's what Proverbs is saying to you, is that we are the simple ones, unprepared at some level. For some of us, it's unprepared for the judgment day. And that might still be some of you here in the room, living as if this is the only thing that matters, not aware that there is an eventual reckoning coming. For some of us, we may be prepared for the judgment day, but we're not prepared for our marriage. We're not prepared for raising our kids. We're not prepared for children, not prepared for things at work. We are the simple ones. To such people as these, wisdom speaks. Hear, for I will speak noble things. From my lips will come what is right. As Wendy was reading, that last verse really just struck me. Did you hear that? Wisdom says, the children of men were my delight. Would you hear that today? That wisdom cries out to you, not like this nagging, annoying adult, but out of joy in you. You are wisdom's delight, and she longs for you to have the good things of life. Proverbs says that wisdom speaks of noble things. Noble things, right things, the way kind of that Proverbs 8 in particular, it's all through the whole book of Proverbs, but wisdom is upright, straight, balanced, true. She speaks of the ways that's untwisted, uncrooked, and invites anyone, especially the fool, to listen and learn from her. It's this universal, democratic invitation to the way life is meant to be. So why do we need wisdom? It's simple, because we all are plagued with foolishness. So how important is wisdom? Verse 10 through 20 especially establish this, that the acquisition of wisdom is the single most important thing a person can grasp in all of life. Okay, I hope you heard that in chapter 8. And it almost is unsettling for you who maybe have been reading the Bible for years. With ever-increasing value comparison, wisdom says she is more important than silver, more important than gold. If any of you kind of name that, the BMW or the more candy. More important than jewels. All that you desire cannot compare with her. By me, kings reign, princes rule, nobles govern, riches, honor, wealth, righteousness, justice are all the possession of wisdom. I grant an inheritance to those who love me, filling their treasuries. And maybe as you read this, it might feel like hyperbole, but this is God's very word, describing wisdom as the fundamental, ultimate commodity of all of existence. That's how important this is. That's why I get so excited to preach it over the course of the summer. Anyone familiar with alchemy? Maybe Harry Potter fans, and you kind of know about this idea of the Philosopher's Stone. But alchemy goes all the way back to Greek culture, all the way through the Middle Ages. Scientists or pseudoscientists believe that maybe we could find a way to turn base metals like lead, anything that was just kind of out there, into gold. But they also believe that if we found it, we wouldn't just get gold, we would get this elixir of life, that somehow it would be the very essence of healing. It actually would save us from death, the curing of all diseases. Eternal life would be found. This is, we think about it, it's like, well, that's crazy. But no, legitimately, these were like the Elon Musks of the world, who are like, if we get to Mars, we'll all be safe. And that's what the alchemists were doing. We have to find this. Wisdom claims to be the end of alchemy. And I want to get you there to go. It's something that you would tend to be like, these alchemists are crazy. There is no elixir of life. There's no philosopher's stone. And yet you read through about wisdom, and it's like everything you ever wanted, you ever could need, is found in me. Blessed is the one who listens to me. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. In her, she says at the end of this chapter, is the fulfillment of every desire of every heart, the very key to life and death. I hope I have your attention. I hope those of you who are moving away are going to be like, oh, man, I need to study that. I got to get into Proverbs over the course of this summer. Hope those of you who are going to be here through the summer will say, I'm not leaving on a Sunday. I got to be here to hear this text. I got to understand wisdom. So for third, what is wisdom? I alluded to this a little bit, but as you read through that chapter 8, you'll see it as well as the entire book of Proverbs. It's instruction. It's knowledge. It's understanding. It's rightness. It's equity. It's balance, straightness, purity. All of these things are found in wisdom. And let me tell you this, my caveat, this is going to take the rest of your life to really even begin to grasp what wisdom is. This is the lifelong pursuit. And I'm sure any of our older saints in the room would say, I don't even know if I even started on the path. So, yes, we're going to take the whole summer to try to be answering what is wisdom. Next sermon especially will be dedicated to answering the specific question of what is wisdom. But according to our chapter today, wisdom is put simply the way God made the world. Okay, this is where I need you to engage kind of now. Hopefully I was trying to inspire you, get you excited about why you want to study this. Now you need to really start intellectually thinking through what is wisdom? Because the way Proverbs said it is wisdom is the way God made the world. I'm going to try to give you three basically analogies to help you grasp it. Wisdom uses a lot of analogies to try to help you understand it. One theologian commentator, he spent his whole life studying the topic of Jewish wisdom in particular, and he says wisdom is living in accordance with reality. When you are in wisdom, you're living in accordance with reality. Think about it this way. Old movie, one of my favorites. All you Gen Xers, changed our life, The Matrix. If you aren't a Gen Xer, you just now know because our whole world is living in the idea of code. What's the code behind everything we're seeing on the front of the screen? Well, the code behind all of this, if there was a matrix that we could see and see the coding of how every single one of our lives was functioning, that coding would be wisdom. Again, a metaphor, but to try to help you. It's the way God made the world. I owe a lot of this study to a great pastor named Tim Keller. He's passed now in heaven, living before wisdom forever and ever. But he spent a lot of time on this. He's got a great book, great commentary about it, 365-day like daily devotional about it. So those of you leaving, get that. And Keller really helped me. He's influenced a lot of this whole sermon series. So that's your own personal study. But he in particular is the one who defined it as this idea of living in reality. Why do we need this? Why would we need wisdom? If we got the Bible, and the Bible tells us what to do, right? I got the Bible, it gives me all these laws. Don't do this, do this. In many ways, the Bible is filled, yes, with moral laws, as in you should only be married to one person. And that marriage should start and then only terminate at death. Okay, that would be a moral command. We know that one. But the scriptures, oftentimes, there's ways at which the truth of God doesn't always catch us with the moral code. So something like, what job should I take? If you read through the Bible, you don't have a thou shalt take the IBM job. It's just not there. So should I work for IBM or should I go stay in banking with Wells Fargo? I don't know. So what do? I read the Bible. They have a moral law. Now, the moral law would say, should I get involved in the slave trade? No. Moral law tells you clearly that's a violation of the moral law. Human trafficking? No. Those are clear. Hopefully nobody in this room is struggling with those questions, okay? If somebody from the mafia has reached out for you to be one of their hitmen, come see me afterwards. I'm happy to talk to you. Bible's really clear. Don't kill people. That's not a good job. But should I be an accountant to somebody who's doing something that actually is illegal? I'm not sure. What do I do with that one? Am I supposed to consider, this is something live for me as I've thought about where my investments go. Should I be investing in that particular company that also invests in pornography? Should my funds go when those money's also being distributed across those other places? I'm just giving it to you know, First Union or Truist. But they're putting it all in a composite. You with me? You start to realize there's these things that don't always fit in moral codes. How are we going to do this? Here's another one. You get a promotion. Should I take the promotion? The promotion is going to require me now to work 60 to 70 hours a week. And also it's going to require me to employ people who I have to have work that hard. I know I'm not supposed to be in the slave trade, but am I getting close when this job is requiring me to work as if I'm a slave to it? We need wisdom at that point. The way Keller kind of describes it and others is that wisdom is the net that catches us in the holes of the moral law of God. That God loves us so much that he does give us clear moral laws that are the principles by which we then can derive. And then there's this net of wisdom that catches us when we're not always clear of whether this is a violation of God's moral law. For such situations, the Bible offers us wisdom. Now, why is wisdom the net that catches us? So here's again, thinking, why is this critical and how do we see this particularly in verse 8 or chapter 8 of Proverbs? 22 through 31 explains this. According to this verse, wisdom is the mechanism or the blueprint, the coding, the algorithm by which God formed the universe. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle in the face of the deep, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside him like a master workman. All right, I haven't worked with Larry before, but I guarantee he's a far better home builder than I am. Guarantee it. And when I watch him use a power tool, I'm going to sit back probably in awe and be like, I thought I knew how to use a circular saw. But Larry or Larry's sons, Wendy, architect, I drew up our architecture plans for a house. And if Wendy saw them, she would laugh at me. Andrew, you are not an expert. No, I'm not. Wendy is an expert architect. You are in one of those places. And when we approach wisdom, we're approaching the master carpenter, the master workman, has the calluses on her hands of how she made the world. This is how God made the world. You're talking to the absolute master of creation. In college, I got this amazing moment where I got to walk with my medieval history professor, who was the foremost medieval history professor in all of the United States. It's an amazing guy. It's raining. We're under umbrella. I went to Davidson College. These moments are supposed to happen at Davidson. This is what they sell you on. We're walking through the rain talking about Milton and Chaucer and medieval kings and how that all played towards the Reformation. And I'm just like, this is the greatest. This is why I came to school here, sitting with a master. Wisdom loves you so much. She made the, and she understands and crafted the blueprint for reality and is inviting you to come walk with her in the rain. The master craftsman who understands it all. Let me go to one more metaphor by way of one more analogy. There are fundamental laws to the universe. Okay, so if we got any scientists in the room, engineers in the room, you know this. Let's just take aerodynamics for an example. Certain realities of lift and acceleration, probably some other stuff that I don't understand, that when you live in accordance with, huge, heavy objects will fly. Like 150 years ago, maybe 100 years ago, people would have said it's magic, right? I mean, no question 150 years ago, they would have said that is pure magic. There is no way that giant 50-ton thing could possibly get in the air. Is it magic? It's just principles of aerodynamics. There's these fundamental laws and codes that when it works, it flies. Now, what happens when you violate those principles? You only have one wing instead of two. If you don't have enough engine thrust, again, sorry, aerodynamic people, if I'm making a mockery of this, it doesn't fly. It crashes. The whole thing crashes down. It's not magic. It's just the reality of how things work. As long as you live within those laws of aerodynamics, you'll fly. When you violate them, you will crash. Apply that now to wisdom. Life is not magic. Kids, teenagers, please hear this. Life is not magic. There actually is a fundamental way in which life works. boys and girls, older kids, if you go sleep with a girl outside of marriage, it will destroy you. That's not me being mean. That's not God being mean. That's not wisdom, like, being dictatorial over you. It's just telling you it doesn't work. It's like trying to get an airplane with no wings. You got a bunch of rockets, you shoot up into space, boom, you're coming down. You will crash. That's the way of wisdom. And it may not feel as loving as the way maybe other things in the Bible speaks to you, yet it's very, very loving if you're standing on the edge of a cliff and wisdom is saying, don't jump, you can't fly. And you're like, yeah, don't buy it, I'm going. They weren't viciously trying to hold you back. They were actually trying to set you free to the way your life really works. Okay. All of this now brings us to the New Testament. It's going to bring us to the Lord's table. Because I hope, if you've been around the Bible for a long time, I hope this whole time you've been like, wait a second. Isn't this Jesus? How could Andrew be explaining wisdom as the ultimate, the everything about life, the way in which the world works, and his wisdom? I thought that's Jesus. New Testament, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Jesus said, come and find me, and when you find me, you find life. If you don't find me, you're just going to find death. I've come that you might have life to the full. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. So he's saying all these things, and it sounds a lot like wisdom. I thought Jesus was the most important thing. Just like wisdom, Jesus says, blessed is the one who listens to me. Whoever finds me finds life. All who hate me love death. How is wisdom and Jesus claiming the same things? Are you going there in your New Testament? Those of you who know the scriptures, just go to one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know this is talking about, John's telling us this about Jesus. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. But then we read in Proverbs 8 that it says, I was with him, and the world was crafted by me. Wait, by wisdom or by Jesus? Wisdom is the ultimate relational fabric of all the universe. Because Jesus is actually the very essence of wisdom. The pursuit of Jesus is the pursuit of wisdom. The pursuit of wisdom is to find Jesus in the world. It's to find Jesus as the net catching you. I hope this begins to change even the way you start reading all these New Testament texts where he talks about nets. It's kind of why I use that picture of actually a net with some fish in it. Because he's talking about the kingdom of God is like a net. I'm trying to catch you. I'm trying to bring you into reality. This is why I got the seeming grammar mistake of whose wisdom. Who is wisdom? Yes, play on words, whose that we can possess, but only who is wisdom, and it's Jesus. All of this is an invitation, the whole study of Proverbs. The closer you get, the more you're living in light of reality, the more you are actually living in the full life of Jesus Christ. I hope that just invites you through this summer to see, wow, I can study Proverbs in every single text. When it starts talking about my anger, it's actually bringing me to Jesus. When it starts talking about purity, it's bringing me to Jesus. When it starts talking about time management, it's bringing me to Jesus. When it starts talking about sleep, it's bringing me to Jesus, because the Bible does that. Proverbs talks about that. All of this brings us back to Jesus Christ. We get ready now to come to the Lord's table, the place where Christ, who is still embodied and seated in heaven, grants us the invitation to come and partake of him in physical form. Spiritually, yes, but real physical elements. He's embodied here in a symbolic and significant way for us. Wisdom comes here. Lord's Supper is a chance for us to step into reality and actually taste of it now. So would you prepare yourself now as we pray? Heavenly Father, I love that at the end of chapter 8, you just say that wisdom, her delight was in the children of man. And it says your delight was in her. And that this wisdom is really just a type, leading us to Jesus, the one who made it all, the one who understands everything about the fabric of the universe, the one who can explain to us relational harmony as well as physical health, who can explain to us what's right for our teeth and as well as what's right just for the way we do our work. All of this, even though we may not have Jesus here physically in the same way, we have his wisdom left for us in the scriptures, and we want to walk into that. May we be just clothed in the fabric of reality in a new way as we live through the summer. And as we prepare to come to the supper, would you allow us to just have a true appetite, a hunger for you. In Jesus' name, amen.